Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
How do we sound?
Bonjour.
Est-ce que c'est en français? Je suis prêt.
I've been in Montreal for about 5.5 years.
I'm a conference interpreter working with French and English. I moved to Montreal with my family from Ontario when I was 5 years old.
I'm Ben. I play in a band with Len. It's called Fern.
Okay. I'm Ellen.
My mother tongue is English.
Espanol.
My parents spoke English at home, although my dad actually spoke many languages.
I moved here from St. John's, Newfoundland, when I was 25, initially just to move, and then I ended up studying translation. I had studied French at university in Newfoundland, but that was studying French in Newfoundland, so I kept studying here and then started studying in translation. And now I work as a translator.
I learned French in elementary school. It started in grade 4 in Ontario, but we really only learned vocabulary. We didn't really learn sentence structure or anything like that. And I took it all through high school because you have the option to stop in 10th grade, but I took it to grade 12 because it was my best subject.
C'est ma langue maternelle, donc je l'ai toujours parlé.
With my grandmother, daycare. My parents didn't speak French at home, but it is Montreal, so you gotta speak it.
I came to this country when I was 5, and because my parents didn't go to an English institution, due to la loi 101 in Quebec, I had to go to French school. So French elementary school, French high school until, secondaire 5.
Initially, this was 1969 when I was starting kindergarten. My dad wanted me to go to a French school. And it turned out that this was not normal procedure, and they wanted me to go to the school board. There was some issue about it, but my dad insisted and I got in. And this was to the French Catholic School Board. So you had both the issues of it being French and Catholic, and I was neither. It was hard for us to get in. I mean, it wasn't a straightforward proposition throughout Montreal. I have lots of friends my age who are from different backgrounds, let's say Greek, Portuguese, Italian, who couldn't get in to the French Catholic system. If they were Catholic, they were immediately sent to the English Catholic side. What ended up happening about, let me see, Bill 101 must have been 77, I guess. 76, 77. So about 8 years later, the laws completely changed. People who were new immigrants here basically had to go into French school. But the funny thing is, before that, it had been in Montreal, I can't speak for the rest of the province, but in Montreal itself, it had been very difficult for immigrants to get into the French side. So it was like a 180. There was this sudden reversal of positions. And I think people were partly didn't like being forced into doing one thing, and partly were just kind of taken off guard. But I find it's important to point out that prior to Bill 101, it's not like the doors were wide open to anybody who wasn't French and Catholic.
And the thing is, like, when you're a kid, it's easier to learn languages, so I didn't have that much trouble. I think within the first week, I was able to hold a conversation, but it was intimidating. I remember it being intimidating. Yeah. My parents had to go through rigorous hours of studying French. My mom my mom was, my dad was working a lot. He knew English, so he took like French classes at night, and my mom would take care of us during the day, and then at night she would go to French class just in time for my dad to come back, so they would alternate. I would teach him a few words here and there, but my dad always had a, he studied a lot of French, because in Chile, where my family's from, they do teach you French during university years.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like close to Spanish, since it's like a Latin-rooted language. But it just didn't practice that much. So when they came to Quebec, I guess it was a good time for them to really practice. Like, they have a beautiful vocabulary. They use words that I don't necessarily think of using, because it's not that much slang. But yeah, I remember being a kid where I would be like, my mom like, oh, this is écureuil, like squirrel, and I would just like teach a few words here.
I first came here for an internship to end my studies, and it was in a mostly English-speaking company. So that was my first real confrontation with speaking English all the time. But I could also hear Quebecois people that were speaking English and that were always switching. People would always switch. And this is how I first was.
And they don't do that in France?
Not at all.
They don't switch, right?
No. No, they don't.
Because I live in Saint-Léonard, it's like Saint-Léonard, it's like a very Anglophone, I would say, area. There was like a lot of Italians that I think established themselves there. And I was lucky that where I live in my street, my neighbors were all girls that were my age. So I would hang out with them and play. They taught me English. I used to say, yeah, I used to say free day until they told me it was Friday at the age of 8.
Well, my mother tongue, i.e. the language of my mother and what I grew up with for the first 5 years, was English. And as a conference interpreter, my official A of A and B languages is English. But there have been times in my life where French was definitely had the upper hand. And I'd say on a daily level, I consider them more or less... not they're not equal, but they're... similar, definitely fluent, but I mean, I don't know.
Since it's not my mother tongue, I feel like people don't understand what I say. And I just naively realized that people were actually understanding since they were speaking English here, somehow. But like, I'm not, when I sing in English, I don't feel like it's as strong as if I was saying the same things in French. It doesn't have the same impact at all. I could say really awful things in English. I don't really feel what I'm saying.
So it's almost like a kind of mask.
Yes, yeah, kind of. And like, the more I'm spending time here, it's been changing a bit. But like at the beginning, like I felt like it was totally a distance de moi. But that was not me saying this.
Living in Newfoundland, you don't run into a lot of translators. And even studying French, it hadn't occurred to me. But obviously it came on my radar when I moved here, but it was really this novel that I read by Nicole Brossard. I read the English translation of it called Mauve Desert, and it's about a translator. Well, it's, you read a novella, you have an interlude where you're with the translator who finds the novella, and then you read her quote-unquote translation of it. But of course you're reading the novella twice, in either French or in English in the translation. I was completely fascinated by it, and it made me think about how translation is really like the deepest form of reading you can do. Like, you actually get to get inside the text in this way that you otherwise don't, because you have to reproduce it. And I've always been a big reader, so it was very alluring.
On any given day, I know I'll spend a certain part of the day speaking French and a certain part of the day speaking English, and it's kind of hard to predict. Although, you know, obviously, English friends I'll speak English to, French friends I'll speak French to, unless we run into somebody on the street who speaks the other language, and, you know, it's all very supple most of the time. Mm-hmm. And at work, I mean, my colleagues are French and English, and our job is to go from English to French and French to English. So it's very hard to know when I'm going to be speaking which language.
Yeah. Constant back and forth.
Yes.
And there's certain tropes that constantly come around. Like there's the post club. You never say smoke break for whatever reason. You know?
Yeah, which, yeah.
Things that I think I don't know if it's because it's culturally rooted in like the French way of being to kind of
maybe
speak about smoking in French. But.
Within my family, I feel like I wouldn't say I consider myself an Anglophone, but I was always the most fascinated by the English language because I loved movies so much. But my brother, he speaks mostly French between the both of us. Like I would say that I am the one who speaks the most English. He went to a French CEGEP, I went to an English CEGEP. He went to a French university, I went to English. And what I've realized by talking with him in a normal conversation is that in the French language, there is such a thing called le mot juste, where you can find a specific word for a specific situation that I think the English language lacks. So I feel like sometimes with my friends, we do a lot of Franglish because I couldn't find the specific word in English, and I'll be like, that's just, the French one just justifies it.
We usually translate this noun by this noun or this phrase by this phrase, and in a lot of cases, yes, that is just what that means. But sometimes there's just like these indescribable little, like, it's not quite the same thing. And so, often what I notice about, say, my Anglophone friends when they use a French word or a phrase when they're speaking, it's because that French phrase is actually better suited to what they want to say than the English translation of it is. Mm-hmm. It means something slightly, slightly different. And it's kind of an indescribable difference. But that misalignment has made me really aware of that. So I sort of think of that like usage of borrowed phrases and words as like a real expansion. Like now you get two ways to say that you're embarrassed because the way that I say it in French feels slightly differently to me.
Well, I can think of a couple that I didn't even realize were anglicized when I was a kid. There was the word rushy, ça me fait rushy. And it took me years to realize that rush was from rush. Actually, rushy, ça me fait rushy, it's not quite the same as being rushed. It's a little broader than that. There's the whole idea of, c'est rushant. It's hard. It's, you know, hard or annoying or something like that. So it's not quite the same meaning in French as in English. And I find that happens from time to time. But the ones when I remember growing up with were rushant, tripant too. I don't know, tripant isn't as trendy anymore, but that was the idea of something that's really fun. But trip, obviously trippy.
It's trippy.
Was obviously from that, but it came to be pretty broad. And it's tripant, it's really fun, it's great, you know?
Oh, that's a cool one. French from France is different from French Quebecois. And so like even like there are words that are used but not for the same purpose at all. Like for instance, you say in Quebec you say c'est malade to say it's great, but if you say this in French, like it sounds like pejorative in a way, like
you're mentally ill.
Yes, yeah.
I think due to the fact that I was raised here, it is very common that people switch. Like they can't, it's really hard for me between my friends or just anyone who I went to high school with, that I could start a sentence in French and end it in English or just like mix it up. And that's very common and people are okay with that. And I try really hard to, from A to B, to keep the same language because I find it very distorted. but I realized that a lot of people, I could speak in English and they'll answer back in French and we could have a conversation in two languages and we both perfectly understand each other.
Some people sort of could turn up their nose at the, you know, at franglais kind of people who are using words from one or the other language. In that it's not precise or it's because they can't speak French well enough or English well enough. The way, like, translating has made me see how quite often the two languages are not aligned.
Why are you entitled to say things like, j'ai fait du shopping, j'ai mangé ma voiture dans le parking, but when I say check ça, Ouais. That's like some dirty, absurd use of English in, yeah, 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 in the French context, yeah, or French sentence.
And I've started to do it a lot, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like it, but like, I've been.
And that's I think that's the distinguishing factor, is that French people would never conjugate an English verb,
yeah,
word.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I think that's what they find disgusting. It's like that someone said, oh, je catch. And get back to them, it's like, what is that? Why? But like you guys, your case stealing nouns, the parking.
But it's funny because like I catch, once I said this in Paris in January, I said je catch pas, and like I've been made fun of.
See, if elitist.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I was like, yes, it's French Quebecois.
Really checky, so
yeah.
Checky.
Yeah, anything that's gonna be a shortcut, I think. If it's a tiny bit longer in French, I don't know. And it works the other way too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have obviously the dep for dépanneur, and I know, I often say terrace for what I actually probably should be patio, like a restaurant's patio or what have you. For me, those are just terraces.
One thing I always try to train myself not to say when I go home is terrasse. Because you get laughed at a lot for that. Nobody else says that. But it's just there. It's less like a conscious choice, too. It's like a what comes out. Like a friend would always say, like, oh, I don't think I can go to this thing tonight. J'ai pas le courage. I can't do it. And that was like, he always used that. He didn't have le courage to do this or that, which is like really particular. And it's like became part of his idiolectomy. And I'll catch myself, it's hard to notice it in yourself even. I do notice I'll say that I feel a bit, and then I'll feel a bit like, you know, a bit gêné about this or that. Actually, I did that in my work evaluation the other day, like did the switch into French. But what's interesting to me about it is that it isn't quite as conscious. It's just like the way we would choose an appropriate word anyway. It just happens to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not necessarily noticing that it's the... Well, maybe you're noticing, but you're not deliberately choosing to use a French expression. It's just the one that you reach for.
In fact, when I started talking to you, I said I was from Mile End, and I had a hesitation because I wanted to say I'm from the Mile End, and I'm not even sure if I should say the Mile End or if I'm just hearing the French in my head, which is le Mile End, change Mile End. You know, it's like it's hard to separate.
Mostly, there is an idea, but it's also like it depends on the words, on new words that I like and that I want to put into a song, like, or expression in English that I just learned and I want to use and relate them to a story that I want to tell.
So it's kind of as you're learning,
yes,
you're integrating what you learned into your music.
Yeah, it's
like,
kind of.
It's a really fun English school.
Yes.
It's the band. I was thinking about if I could write songs in French and have them be more interesting and, like we were saying, abstracted, but I think my French isn't quite bad enough. A lot of these Montrealer bands who are on the Francocide who do speak in English, I don't feel like they're ever fully embracing the fact that they're bad at English in a sense, you know? I feel like I've never heard anything that was like so awkwardly constructed in their second language that it struck me as interesting or different. It's always like they've had some proofreader or something, or their English just happens to be good enough that it doesn't pass off that way. You just get this end result that is such a funny, interesting mishmash of someone trying to interpret very specific, almost poetic thoughts in a language I hardly know, that it's all about that added layer of like abstraction that we're talking about. That just, I don't know, it's got something going for it. Floats my boat. It's
so easy to just let yourself go and throw in whichever word happens to fit at that particular second.
You have a larger toolbox and you get to really use the precise word or phrase or expression in the other language. And in Montreal, you can assume understanding on the part of your whoever you're talking to. So it's a real richness, you know, rather than imprecision or laziness.
I find that sometimes when you interact with somebody in English, you're almost, you can kind of turn off and just interact in this way that is very impersonal. But I find when I'm interacting with somebody in French, so much effort is going into me being able to articulate myself correctly and have them understand me, that I use a lot more gestures. And I just find myself much more present, whether or not a French speaker realizes any of that, I'm not sure.
Ce que Amanda a dit, there is a lot of articulation in the French words. So growing up, I really had to work on my diction and making sure that every word is pronounced right. I feel like for French, especially, there's a mot juste, the grammar is harder, syntax, just formulating sentences. There's always a word for everything. So I am more careful in French.
It's like everyone here is constantly living in a kind of in a second language world, if you will. Or it's like you're constantly... I know so many people are Quebecois here who like working on their English and get a few beers in them and it's all they want to speak because it's a social language, like we're talking about, or vice versa. Or like Anglophones who are constantly from out of province and trying to work on their French. And I think that's such a unique part of the city, is constantly having to work in a language that is not your first language of instruction. Mm-hmm. So I think putting that in a musical context, I think definitely touches a very big chord with a lot of people who are from Montreal or have lived here.
It never doesn't feel good, really, to move around a city hearing people switching back and forth and knowing that you too can like play with that. You can have access to that, to two different worlds. I never don't get a kick out of that kind of...
It's on edge, yeah. And unilingual cities suck because of that. I can never do that.
Yeah, I felt this. I missed this so much when I was back in France, like for 9 months. Like, I missed it so much, not navigating between English and French all the time. I was happy enough to have to speak in English at my job, but it was not like the same at all, you know?
And it's good for the brain. It prevents yes. Alzheimer's. It's like all kinds
yes.
of.
You know, having primarily gained fluency in French in Montreal, in a way that I've always been switching back and forth, I've sometimes thought, oh, maybe I should have just moved to the regions or gone to France or somewhere for like a year and really only spoken French to like really go there to that place. But I sort of like my ragtag French by now. It's kind of mentally exhausting sometimes. Like I, you know, just translated for 8 hours and now I can't come up with specific words for you because my brain gets fried. And if you were to ask me the equivalence of like 6 of the terms that I translated today, I would only be able to give you one or the other. Like sometimes, you know, you get kind of scrambled. I'm so accustomed to living with like a slight level of difficulty. Like a 10%, your daily life is 10% more difficult. Even now that I'm like quite comfortable and I go to the doctor in French and I go to my day job in French, it's still, you have to be slightly more on. It makes a difference if you're tired. There's this like added layer of difficulty that I kind of miss when I'm not here. Like if I go to Toronto or Ottawa or to the States, it's almost a letdown that everything's just so easy and in English.
Another thing I really like about Montreal and Quebec and the bilingualism here and the fact that the French is very strong above all is that as a person who is progressive, I see things happening here and continuing here that won't necessarily continue elsewhere given all the pressure right now for austerity and just general neoconservative agenda. I mean, because having French as a main language in Quebec which is surrounded by Anglo, what have you. It's not, when you think about it, really, it's not really profitable. They could, what I see in the long term is if Quebec were to go continuously with governments that were into austerity measures and what have you, and the logic of that, to my mind, is towards an eventual elimination of French. Fortunately, in Quebec, there's been a number of what you might call societal choices, the choix de société, where people have decided that they will, you know, for one thing, keep French, but also a certain number of other measures, our car insurance and what have you, that are possible, I think, in large part because we consider ourselves to be distinct, to be a separate society and to have a separate way of functioning. The culture here has actually helped in a way to keep a certain progressive ideas alive. And I think that the only way they can continue, I think the French fact in North America is only possible if you continue to view things through a societal angle rather than purely through a profit angle.
Honestly, I think it's win-win. I don't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it any other way personally. I love it.
It would be even funnier if there was a third one. Yeah, I don't see any disadvantage to that.
Two languages is not enough, that's
yes,
what we're saying.
Yes, yeah, we need German or something else.
Exactly, I fully support this.
Arabic, I don't know. Yeah, or Chinese, yeah, it should be another language.
Yes.
Yeah.
When your phone rings, and it's a number that you do not recognize, how do you answer the phone?
I've got a very specific answer to this question. And I give this very vague, it's a mix of a hello and a allô.
Oh, the same, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is just like, especially in the context of like the phone call and like, you know, it's not like speaking to someone directly, so the words kind of morph when people hear them to have it be what they want to be. Mm-hmm. I think if you just give like a hello, it's like the hello minus the H is what I say.
Yeah,
and
same.
It's perfectly adaptable to both. Mm-hmm. So that's my go-to.
Yeah, just say allô and
it works.
Yes.
I do this really awkward, like half French, half English, hello.
Bonjour, hello.
English, because you're calling me.
Fair enough, you adapt to me, yeah.
Like, hello. He called my phone.
Yeah.
But like, who's picking up a number? They don't know.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and The Station. To learn more about the RBF series and the National RBF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RBF.